Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Kingdom. The Kingdom assignment for today, May 29, 2015, is Revel in His Majesty. Revel in His Majesty. And it is certainly an honor to be before you again on this great morning. God is still in the blessing business. He woke us up this morning, gave us life in our bodies, and gave us the activities of our limbs to move forward. And so today we'll move forward with our kingdom assignment. It is Friday, the end of the week. God has allowed us to see another week, and He has allowed us to see it safely. He's provided and protected us throughout the week, and we are just grateful and honoring and worshiping Him. The kingdom assignment is Revel in His Majesty. And the kingdom assignment of reveling in God's majesty is so appropriate for this time that God is speaking to us. You know, as I was doing my research on reveling, it just says to enjoy, to be greatly involved in His majesty. You know, when God speaks, the angelic hosts revel in His majesty. When God speaks, the angelic hosts revel in His majesty. So why shouldn't we? You know, just the word majesty, the majestic, it is, you know, God's power, His supernatural power that moves about on this earth as it is in heaven. And we should be thankful that God is still moving in our lives, and He's moving all around us. The base scripture for today is Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, this is such a timely message because we're still focusing on the Word of God. Yesterday we talked about how the Word we needed for guidance and instruction. We needed just to allow us to move about this earth. And so now we have, you know, confirmation here for today's assignment where we are still in the Word and we're depending and trusting on that word. The base scripture or the base story for today is talking about Jesus in the wilderness. You know, it talked about how Jesus was led to the wilderness. He was led to the wilderness, and the enemy was there to try to tempt Him. And this is such a timely message because, you know, we are in a time where the enemy is just running rampant on this earth. And the enemy is his job is to get us distracted. His job is to make it seem like we're hearing from God when we're not. We're hearing from Him. And he is trying to really just take us out of this earth and guarantee that we'll join him in hell. And so we've got to be alert and cautious of what God is doing. We've got to be alert and cautious that, you know, that the enemy is here and that he does not mean any good for us, that he means to kill us, destroy us, and steal from us those things that God has given us as gifts. And we've got to be cautious so that we can be on guard. God is protecting us from him, and we've got to do our part. Now, this is a timely session because, you know, Jesus was a great example in the Bible. And we did the base scripture of Matthew 4 and 4, but I'm going to start at Matthew 4 and 1. And I'm going to read, and then we'll talk about this great story. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's Matthew 4 and 1. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread." So the enemy is coming along to tempt Jesus. But, you know, Jesus had fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. And so Jesus had given up. He had sacrificed. He was sacrificially honoring God through fasting and prayer. He had been in communion with God because when we fast and we pray, we are denying our earthly bodies, our earthly flesh, so that we can be more spiritually filled, we can mature spiritually, and that way our senses, they become so keen. The spiritual senses become keen because you can hear clearly from God. You can, you know, if you've ever had the experience, I know my experience with fasting, it does allow you to grow spiritually. It allows you to mature, and it gives you the relationship. It gives you an opportunity to really strengthen the relationship with God. And so Jesus had been fasting. Now he's in the wilderness, and the devil, the enemy, comes to him to tempt him. And now we're back at the base scripture, Matthew 4 and 4, that says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." 4, 5, and 6, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." And then Matthew 4 and 6, "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And then Matthew 4 and 7 says, "Jesus said unto him, It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Matthew 4, 8 through 10 says, "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve." And then Matthew 4 and 11 says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." You know, this is just a great example of how we should be prepared and equipped to fight the enemy. You know, Jesus would not have been prepared if he had not been fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights. This is such a great example because in this story, and this was Matthew 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. In this story, it shows how the enemy came and tempts Jesus. He came to tempt Jesus, and he came in three different ways. Three different ways. The first way that he came is he said, so you say that you are the Son of God. So if you're the Son of God, do this and do this, and God will come down and he'll, you know, he'll provide for you. And Jesus responded each time, not from what he thought he should respond, not for what he felt he should respond, but Jesus responded with the word. Each time that you see Jesus' response, you see, he says, it is written. It is written. And that is just significant because just the word it is written says to us that God's promises, God's word, God's truth, the truth is was written and it was being referred to. It was a point of reference. And this is how we ought to be, you know, fully versed in God's word, fully versed in the Bible, with full knowledge and understanding of the scripture and how it is applicable not just in our lives, not just in other people's lives, but for the situations that we may be experiencing. And, you know, the enemy comes and manifests itself through people. So when people approach you and they ask you questions, it is a reminder that we should respond in such a way that provides the Bible as a scripture of reference. Remember, God is speaking in the word. And so when God speaks, the angelic hosts revel in his majesty. And so the word, when we're speaking the word, we're speaking what God spoke. We're speaking God's promises. We're speaking God's truth. And so we are in turn reveling in his majesty. And so God is saying to us today, revel in his majesty. You know, the enemy comes to do accusations. The enemy comes to trick and deceive us. The enemy comes to just catch us off guard. And, you know, if we're not focused, if we got this busy, busy life where we can't stop and commune with God and we're not stopping to pray and we're not stopping to, you know, take time out to fast, to sacrificially worship, you know, that's, you know, us worshiping God and honoring God through our time, through our possessions, through, you know, denying the flesh, through communion and fellowship. If we're not taking the time to do those things, we will be caught off guard. It's a guarantee that you'll be caught off guard, and you'll be caught when you least expect it. You know, this was a test. If you look at it that way, it was a test. Jesus was being tested. And, you know, the beautiful thing about this is because God allowed Jesus to go off in the wilderness, to be led in the wilderness. God allowed it. And so God already knows if we're going to pass the test or not. God already knows what our responses are going to be. Jesus was prepared because he had fasted, he had communed with God, and he was ready. You know, we talk about putting on, you know, the armor of Christ and putting on, you know, our protection and being equipped. That's what that means, is knowing that word of God. And, you know, God had just said, you know, when Jesus was led up into the wilderness to be tempted, God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know, when God is proud and he is happy and he has approved you, he has vindicated you, he has justified you, you're justified, the enemy wants to try you. Look at Job. The enemy is searching this earth to and fro, and he is looking for a vessel. Just like God is, you know, looking for a willing and available vessel, so is the enemy. And that doesn't always have to be, you know, the enemy is not going to go ahead and mess with someone that he already has. He wants someone that he doesn't have. And whom better than God's approved and God's appointed and God's anointed. So we've got to be on guard with that word. We've got to be on guard with our spirituality. We've got to be on guard. You know, God is telling us to do away with this traditional man-made stuff because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's temporary. It diminishes. It fades. It loses value. It decreases. But God's word stands and it lasts forever. It's eternal. All the gifts that God has given us is to prepare us for this earth, to live here on this earth, to be caught up with him when he returns. And so we've got to be cognizant of the fact that we are going to be tempted, we're going to be tested, and the question is, are you prepared? Are you equipped for the test? Have you studied? Are you going to pass? You know, and that's the thing. We've got to realize when we're being tested. We've got to realize, you know, what situation we're in. We've got to realize that. We've got to be able to identify it. And the only way to identify it is being close, in close relationship with God and with that word. And then when you encounter situations, you're prepared. You already know what situation you're in. You already know what test you're going through. And you have been equipped for the journey. And you'll pass. You will pass with flying colors. And God knows that you will pass because he knows if we're prepared. He knows if we're not prepared. God, you know, imparts the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside, to constantly remind us of the truth. And so if we're reading the word, when we are in a situation, the Holy Spirit will bring those scriptures back to your remembrance so that you are able to apply them to the situation. Notice that Jesus had an answer for every temptation that the devil tried to throw at him. He had an answer, and that answer was the word. And even, you know, the enemy will try to get you, distract you with that word. The enemy recites scripture too. Did you know that? The enemy knows the word. But the enemy, the thing about the enemy is that the enemy will take the scripture and distort it and manipulate it and use it to benefit his purpose and his goal. And will not even quote it correctly because you'll see that in Matthew 4:6, the enemy is playing with the word of God. For the devil is quoting the scripture, and he is quoting it in a way where it suits his purpose. And, you know, that's what we have now in the churches. That's what we have now in ministry. Many people are taking the scripture, and they're manipulating it and using it for their self-gain. And if you don't know the word, you can easily be persuaded. You can easily be led down a path because you don't know the word. That's like someone coming to you and telling you something, and they are so convincing with what they're telling you that you don't really even know what they're telling you, but they've used, you know, words. They've used words to manipulate the situation. They've used words to persuade you. Well, guess what? The enemy uses scripture to persuade you and manipulate you into making decisions, to distract you. The enemy uses scripture too. And the enemy will misquote the scripture. And so that's why you got to not read, just read the scripture, but get a thorough understanding of the scripture and what God is saying. And you need to get that understanding for yourself. We've got so many congregations that are being led astray because the scripture has been manipulated into what man's traditional laws have been set in these church settings. And you've got the congregation that will not read the scripture and will not get an understanding for themselves. The word says study to show thyself approved. And you need to also get an understanding. In all thy getting, get an understanding. So that should be what you're doing. You should be reading for yourself and not taking someone else's word. And, you know, I hear, well, I can't read the Bible and I can't really understand what it's saying to me. So pray and ask God to give you the understanding. God has everything that you need, and he will give you the understanding that you need for the word. He will speak to you through that word. Those words will become life to you. They will manifest themselves right there in your very, right before you, before your very eyes. As a matter of fact, they will manifest themselves. They will become majestic. They will become God's glory. They will become all the things that you need. This word is your source. This word is here to provide you with guidance and instruction. And so, I don't know, you know, think about it. If you were in a situation and you were being led out to the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy, would you be able to stand? Remember, Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. So the enemy used the thing that he knew would help him stray or would distract him first. He used bread. He used the thing. He used his hunger. And the enemy's not going to use something that's not going to tempt you. If you're not, you have an area in your life where you're just mostly tempted, that's where the enemy's going to hit. You know, and it's so funny because the enemy doesn't have any new tricks. The enemy just keeps doing the same ones over and over again. Sometimes it'll manifest in different people. And then you should know, you know, it's just a matter of being cognizant of what is happening in your life, the situation that you may be in. If you know you have a temptation for alcohol, then the enemy is going to come and come that. He's going to come from that direction, alcohol. And you should know that. That's one thing you should notify. You should notice. If you know you have, you know, you have a sexual addiction or you have some type of addiction, drug addiction, then the enemy is going to hit you where you're the weakest. That's going to be the first point of, you know, of contact, of even contact, the first point of contact, the first point of trying to destroy you, the first point of attack. And so God is, you know, just wanting us to be wise, wise in our doing, wise in our thinking, wise in our decisions, and we cannot make decisions. We're not able to think freely. We're not allowed to move if we're not in that word. And we have to do these things according to the will of God. And so in order to learn the will of God, it's got to be in the word. How does God want me to move? What would God want me to say? God, what do you want me to say in this situation? What do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to handle this situation? And so God is just opening our eyes to this word, opening our eyes to the purpose of the word. The purpose of the word is to fill our lives, and it's to allow us to live happier lives, lives full of joy, peace, and the gift that God has given us. So let us find ourselves reveling in God's majesty, reveling in the gifts that God has given us, getting in this word and getting an understanding so that when trials and tribulations come up in our lives, we encounter situations that we don't quite know how to handle. We are encountered with people that we are allowed to speak to by God, that we have the word that backs up what we're saying. You know, it's nothing like being able to say something to someone and giving them a point of reference where they can actually go back and see it for themselves. And they, you know, it reinforces you. It justifies your word, the word that God has given you, given them through you. It is backing up, you know, what you're saying. And so, you know, yeah, it's good for them to hear it. It's good for them to have a point of reference, but it's also good for them to go back and read it for themselves and getting understanding for themselves. And so I thank God for the opportunity to be before you again on this Friday. I pray that your weekend is blessed. Join me on Sunday on icebreakerradio.com for the 2:30 to 3:30 sermon. It is Provoking Thoughts with Prophetess Sonya Butler. Again, it's icebreakerradio.com. You can listen live at 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And God is yet moving. You can also reach me on ptwithsbutler@gmail.com if you have a prayer request. Also, Provoking Thoughts with Prophetess Sonya Butler Facebook page. And you can also reach me on Twitter at ptwithsbutler. Until Monday morning, be blessed. Find yourself in the Word, fasting and praying, communing with God. Be blessed.